Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is live, and I just want to say, Scottie Scheffler, this is the greatest thing for me. So you just going to throw a hoodie on and play today. I didn't know you could do that in golf. Have you ever seen it? Tom Watson's rolling around in his living grave. Gary Player rolling around in his living grave. Tyler, you know more etiquette than I have never seen. I don't know if I've ever seen it. I thought they were going to get at me and we were in Grand Traverse when I had on just a little pullover real quick with a t-shirt underneath
it. I told you at Twin Peaks, I looked up, I said, I honest to God would not have guessed in all seriousness that the PGA would allow like a guy to just be wearing a hoodie out there. They're usually pretty weird about stuff like that.
You got the pockets to the sides too.
Real cash with it.
He said, I don't give a damn. Say something to me. Next thing you know, he's going to get out there. He's going to get a cart.
You know I'm number one in the world, right?
He's going to drive the whole six.
What you going to do, arrest me?
Say something.
They found the old loophole, man. If it's chilly outside or raining, you can really push the envelope with whatever kind of pullover you
want. Can you?
Right,
Al. Yes. I mean,
I've never seen that. I've seen the pullover. I've seen the raincoat. That is, I mean.
Well, clearly you can. I mean, look, Scheffler's number one in the world, but he ain't carrying around a tiger stick. I mean, it ain't like he's like, I can do whatever the hell I want kind of. I mean, obviously he can, but I think it's a really good look.
I do. I hope more people do it.
He took the half to a whole other level.
He looks less and less like Jay Leno in that pullover. I mean, in that hoodie. And he's the beard helps.
What is that about Jay Leno? Is the big jaw?
It's the jaw, man. I think he knew he had to grow the beard out. When he's freshly shaven, Scotty really looks like Jay Leno. Really looks like Jay Leno. All right, welcome in. Shout out to Scotty Scheffler for just breaking the rules. The hell with it. Someone said he's promoting Happy Gilmore. That might be it. That's the last person I've seen in a fictitious movie break the golf etiquette. Until Scottie Scheffler, number one player in the world, just went hoodie.
I believe Gilmore 2 comes out like, what is that, next week, huh?
That's it, man. Maybe throw on a Boston Bruins jersey and playing that. That's what Adam did.
Go to your home!
I don't know what it is. I like this. I like this more from Scottie. I bet Rory's over there. Put a sweater on.
Have some respect.
Problem. I mean, I'm sure Scottie's been a problem ever since he got arrested last year. I mean, I'm sure he's been a real a-hole ever since.
Put a half zip on, will you? Look at these guys. Look at Brooks. Look at Brooks, whose hair is getting long, by the way. He's got a half zip on. Nike. That's what you do. Scotty's out here. Looks like he's
the damnedest thing is the pocket in the front.
Yes.
That hood
on the back, man. He looked like if he put on some slides, he looked like he'd be real comfortable.
Oh, there ain't no doubt, man. There ain't no doubt. Yeah, it's that front pocket that makes that thing a real hoodie, man.
I bet you. That has to be made by, that's got to be made more looser, right? I bet you Nike Golf created some sort of a hoodie that is, because I don't, like, if he went on a regular hoodie like we would wear, I feel like it wouldn't.
Oh, you're talking about the material?
Yeah.
The material has to give so he can get full rotation.
Yeah.
I bet it is I bet you a lot of people
about to start buying it.
I'd like to have one just to wear. I'm not saying I'd wear it on the golf course, but it looks like it's thin. Like you said, it's thin and it stretches. It's nice material. Oh, Tyler, what do you think that thing will hit you for, man?
That
Nike hoodie. Yeah, I guarantee
golf
it's trending
Nike
somewhere.
Because I know Tiger's going off on his people at Sunday Red right now.
It's got to be a minimum created. Like 80, right? Like 80 bucks, 90 bucks, 80? Probably nearing 100.
That's north of 150.
Okay.
120.
Is 120?
Victory Dry Fit.
I hadn't seen that.
Here we go. Men's Dry Fit Thermaflex Golf Hoodie. It's exactly what he's got on.
$120. $120, huh?
$120.
I bet you a lot of people are going to start buying those. You ain't lying. I want to wear it.
Well, I'm going to tell you that the big fellas and the little bitty fellas have been buying it. There's no more extra smalls and there's no more triple and quadruple X's left. Everything in between you got, man.
Who's in these triple X's getting this?
This golf hoodie is built for more than just the course, baby. It's high-stretch thermal fabric with sweat-wicking dry-fit technology.
Versatile.
Helps keep you warm and dry during active days.
And what more could you want out of a hoodie?
I'm telling you, man, this is...
Why do you keep
call
sounding,
now? Get your second free.
Like you're doing a read.
Yeah, hell, it's I'm like an infomercial.
I'd like get to have
you,
one.
Keep you warm and dry.
I feel like I just tuned into QVC.
Yeah, I think it's an all right old. I think it's an all right. Wait, Scotty's got a half zip, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got it.
Does Scotty have a zip?
No,
on
he don't have no zip. I don't think he has a zip on it. By the way, here coming up in a little bit, Tyler. I guess Tyler has something he needs to get off his chest. Clint.
I just deleted that because I cannot remember why I put that in there.
Clint, I've been waiting for this all damn day.
And I'm dead serious.
I mean, this pisses me smooth off.
I just looked at it and I can't remember why I put that in our rundown last night. I remember putting it in there last night, but I can't remember why.
Clint, he put that in there and I saw it early this morning.
You thought, hell yeah.
He said,
we got a segment out of this.
There's not much that Tyler puts down and says, I got to get this off my chest.
It had to have been good.
He blew through Tyler's turd list. Whatever it was, he has got to get through his chest. And then snuck down here, and I'm waiting. I'm waiting to get to this. I was going to get to this Lance McCullers crap and then get to Tyler, and then here Tyler is just completely forgotten.
Well, dude, I'm bragging
got,
my
you
brain.
You worked till 9:30 or 10. You got home. What'd you do when you got home?
Somebody help Tyler figure out, because we all want to know now.
I cannot remember for the freaking life of me.
That's what happens when you get a good night's sleep, doesn't it, Tyler?
Good God, man. It was juicy, too. I got to get this off my chest. I said, I'm going to tease that and start. Then we'll get to the bottom of it.
I just looked down at that, like, right before you said that, and I was like, oh, yeah, I did put that in there, but I deleted it because I cannot remember.
Was it Elko and saying, oh, boy, can't come back to A&M or is not coming back to A&M?
No, that ain't something he would put in the – this was something personal. Something happened.
I'm going to keep thinking, but I cannot remember.
All right. Well, welcome in. At some point, Tyler will give us whatever it is he needs to get off his chest that he forgot and then tried to slide in and erase already. But the Astros get going tonight. They start back up against the Mariners. And we were talking about Lance McCullers yesterday, and to a point where you're like, you feel more comfortable. And you weren't alone. There were people here on text line, YouTube and Twitch saying a similar thing, that you feel more comfortable with Lance behind a Spencer Arrighetti or somebody in the four spot.
I would feel more comfortable with my Astros right now if the Lance McCullers that we're watching that's been inconsistent, whether it's tipping pitches or sitting out 900 and some odd days, whatever the reason is irrelevant. I, as an Astros fan, I would just feel a little more comfortable if we had a third starter that was nails right now and pitching well, and then we were being patient and giving a little grace to Lance McCullers in that four hole as a starter in the rotation versus a three hole. The three hole starter in the playoffs,
you're gonna pitch,
and hell, you can argue down the stretch if this thing tightens up the way it did the last six games before the All-Star break. I mean, if you can argue that you're gonna need him, you'll need that third starter to be nails a lot sooner than the playoffs. But that was my point. Was I would feel a lot more comfortable with what we're seeing from Lance if it wasn't one of those gotta have moments where we need a third starter.
Yeah, I think he is becoming one of the most important things to watch in the second half. I don't know if they're thinking we're going to go and try to get another Kikuchi that might be on the line, and we can discuss some of that. And when I say Kikuchi, I don't just say that just because we enjoy saying that name. I'd say that in regards to, you know, another starter. He was a mid to front of the rotation level starter, and then when they got him, he was actually just really, really good.
Yeah, he nails.
For the team. But I don't know if that's what they're thinking is. I think a bat, a left-handed bat in particular, is something that they are really struggling with. Right now, if you could try to name in your head the best left-handed bat that they have on this team, it might be a difficult thing for you to get to right now with no Yordan out there. So I feel like that might be something they're looking to. But from a pitching perspective, when you look at Spencer Arrighetti, I think a lot of people are looking for him to come back just to kind of get, you know, maybe even to push like maybe a Brandon Walter or a Big C out of the rotation. But I think there are also thoughts of, hey, maybe he needs to get himself ready so he can be the third starter in the playoffs. And it is hard for me not to get the good Lance and the Lance we've kind of seen in the postseason before out of my mind. And I personally, for the Astros, would feel better if Lance had gotten himself to a position that he was the third starter going into the playoffs. Because for me, I feel like I trust him more. Spencer, who had a good late part to a season last year, he still had an ERA over 4.5, 7-13 last year. He had an ERA nearing 6 in his 2 starts this year before he had that freak injury. We don't need to revisit before he had that freak injury
in left field during Mariners BP.
Yeah,
that guy.
I don't know, but I think it's probably best for the Astros if Lance McCullers starts to get some sort of consistency and getting it going, and that he takes the kind of the third spot in the rotation unless they go out and fill it.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, you want one of two things has to happen, and it's not just Spencer Arrighetti get healthy, right? Spencer taking the next step was a big part of this year's rotation. Lance McCullers getting back and being healthy and shaking the rust off and just being someone that can contribute, even at a chew up some innings throughout the regular season, was a plus. Now we've seen Lance.
Yeah, because the start of the season, we didn't even know.
Right.
You wouldn't even say he's going to pitch.
Well, now you've seen Lance through 10 starts. There's been a couple of really bad starts where he was either tipping pitches or lost it completely. But really, that we've seen flashes from Lance of the old Lance that can be really, really good, that can strike guys out, that can get a lot of swing and miss. And whether it's Lance takes the third spot or it's Spencer Arrighetti comes back, takes the
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Next step from what we saw last year and for the couple of starts this year, and he takes the third spot. Either way it goes, where I'm at is that third starter right now, I just don't have a lot of confidence in based off what we've seen. And that's a problem.
Even with Spencer. Because I feel like you seem to have more confidence in Spencer right now than Lance.
Well, I haven't seen Spencer, so I don't know. I was just assuming that Spencer Arrighetti was going to take that next step. I got a lot of confidence in Spencer as he's a prospect at this point in time, if we're being honest. He hadn't pitched enough to be a solid MLB guy. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I like what I saw from Spencer. I think what we've seen from Spencer pales in comparison to a good to great Lance McCullers at this point in his career. So either way it goes, whichever one of them steps up and takes that third spot, I'd feel a lot more comfortable about our Astros if that third starter in the rotation was a little bit more solid.
Yeah, text line coming through. In no way does Lance make me feel comfortable. Listen, I'm not going to fight you off of that. He's had some rough starts, and as you said, he hasn't pitched before these 10 starts in 900 days. In multiple years, but that's why to me the second half for him, the next however many starts for him, are big, because to me, if you start to see a level of consistency for Lance and he strings together 6, 7, 8 starts, for me, like, his history has to also attach to that. If he starts to string together some consistency, the first 10 starts have not been consistent.
No, it hadn't. But to the texture, I mean, that's the whole point of the conversation. I don't think anybody right now is in any way, shape, or form confident with Lance. That's what we're talking about. That third starter in the rotation is up for grabs, and I'd feel a lot better about it if either Lance gets better or Arrighetti comes back in his nails, one of the two, right? I'm more comfortable right now with trying to figure it out Lance in that four starter role is the point. I don't think anybody right now is confident that Lance McCullers down the stretch in a playoff series versus the best Major League Baseball has to offer is I don't think anybody's confident in that guy being a factor. But hopefully he can get there. I think that's a point. Hopefully he can get there in the next 10 starts.
All right, hopefully Tyler can get to whatever the hell it was he put into the – because it seemed really intense. I would really love to see what that is. Who the hell is that kid? Jesus.
He's like a guy from Tyler's Sterling, big town Sterling squad.
It looks like Doogie Howser just walked out in this piece. And I'll just, okay. Oh, and he's 8-over. Well, not bad. All right.
He's 8-over.
Anyway.
Richard Tedder.
Is that his name?
From Switzerland, it looked like. Yeah.
Dick Tedder.
Look at it right there, number 5. Got her up.
Coming up. Our offensive line watch heading into the into a training camp starting next week. We'll look at the most experienced one, returning one they have there, Titus Howard. Is there less pressure on Titus Howard now that he's moved away from his natural position? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, training camp gets going, coming up next week. next Wednesday, and the offensive line is always going to be a big topic of conversation.
They're all fixable.
Leading into the season. Boy, that's what the hope is for Texans fans, that thing is fixable. And we'll see. But we've talked about a lot of guys. We talked about Jake Andrews, who feels like he's going to be the starting center. We talked about Blake Fisher, who feels like he's going to be the left or the right tackle. Lakin Tomlinson came up as well this week. We talked about the rookie, Ariante Ursary, who they drafted yesterday. And Clint, today, let's look at Titus Howard. Titus Howard, who has been here the longest across that offensive line. He is a right tackle, was paid as a right tackle. Currently, the team's fourth highest paid player this year. Second is Dalton Schultz.
We don't like that.
Say it again.
Money.
We don't like that.
Top four for you is that will get paid this year. Money they will get this year. Not overall contract, but this year is... Is Danielle Hunter one, Dalton Schultz two?
It felt like it ripped my nuts off.
Derek Stingley three, and then Titus Howard, DJ Stroud fifth. But that's the top five in terms of guys that will get paid.
2025 money, huh?
Right now, yep, 2025 money. Titus Howard there. Do you feel like there is less pressure on him, Clint, moving inside? His natural position was right tackle. A lot of a contract was brought up for him. Now he's clearly moving into a spot where it's not, you know, the position they had planned for him to play or he had planned to play. Do you feel like less pressure is on Titus Howard right now with the move into right guard?
No, I don't think less pressure is on him. I don't know that he's ever... If there's ever been a lot of pressure on him, so
you don't
to speak.
Think so?
I don't know that pressure's ever been a thing for him. I mean, really, because of the way he's been used, he could always look up and say, "Guys, the hell are we doing?" I mean, what? It's one thing to quote unquote cross train your offensive linemen. It's another thing to use that as an excuse when you have no other answers other than to move your right tackle to left guard and move him around every time somebody gets injured because you're so ill prepared for the issue to arise, right? So I don't think Titus Howard's ever been put in a position to really feel pressure.
It feels like a lot of negative that comes around him. Like anytime he struggles, it is over the top negative, especially when he got that contract.
Yeah, I think if anything, there's more pressure because I think it's clear to me that he has been training and preparing to be a guard. Like, there's no more of the excuse. Like, I've always looked at Titus Howard, and my opinion of Titus Howard, I've always thought more highly of Titus Howard because, hell, you prepped all offseason and every bit of your training, your diet, your mindset, your studies, everything was around playing right tackle. And now, once again, he's being asked to play left guard. What people don't understand how difficult that is. So if he does struggle a bit, he's the one guy that has the excuse. All of that stuff for me is out the window with Titus Howard. It's clear now. You are a right guard. You have trained, and every snap that we've seen him take in OTAs and minicamp was at right guard. It appears, I haven't seen the numbers, but it appears that your body is built a little different, which lends itself to playing guard, not tackle. It looks like he spent a little less time worried about being athletic and a little bit more time worrying about being able to anchor that ass down in interior offensive line play, right? You all of your mentals have been geared towards playing guard. So if anything, to me, there's more pressure on Titus Howard then less pressure because now you're making that money and the organization is asking you to do in, you know, April, what they're going to ask you to do in November. So if anything, I think there's more pressure on him to perform at a high level because he doesn't have the excuse of I've been pushed around, flopped around.
I would hope that and would think maybe the thought is, all right, man, he is sacrificing, right? And I do think a lot of people, especially fans or whatever, do look at that and it maybe feel different, right? The opposite of Laremy Tunsil. There was no way Laremy Tunsil would move a position if he was playing tackle. Like, he's sacrificing money, sacrificing the position he's most comfortable in. So I do feel like at least the hope is if there is some struggles that he maybe doesn't catch it like he was catching at times at right tackle. So I do think there is a better feel for Tytus Howard with what he is sacrificing, especially from the organization and the fan base. But to your point, the duties and the mission still stays the same. Like, he has to be a space, just like he had to be at right tackle. He has to be a space where that's something that the coaching staff and Nick Caley and company don't have to worry about. Like, his spot, even though he's not a normal right guard, but his spot, you may have to wonder what you got at center. You may have to wonder what you got at right tackle. You got a second-year player.
Yeah, yeah.
Like at top. But they've got to say, all right, you're the fourth highest-paid player on the team. Your spot has to – like, that can't be a spot that we got to worry about.
Yeah. You look at this, the left tackle, left guard, and right guard, those three spots, for different reasons, but those three spots can't be Nick Caley issues or Cole Popovich issues. They can't be.
Those are all veterans who have played.
Well, but your whole organization went out and got them.
Yeah.
Right? Your whole organization watched Tytus Howard and said, he's a better guard than he is a tackle, and he's a better right guard than he is a left tackle. He's better on the right side.
And we don't need to get any, and that's not where we need to upgrade.
Nope. Lakin Tomlinson. You look at Lakin Tomlinson. He's had experience with D'Amico Ryans in San Francisco. First-hand experience. That's who you went and got to fill the biggest void in the organization the 3 years that you've been here, two-plus years you've been here, right? Cam Robinson, you bounced Laremy Tunsil up out of here, which I agree with. And your answer was Cam Robinson. Those three spots cannot be issues for the Texans this year. Center, right tackle, swing tackle. What is Trent Brown? What is Ariante Ursary? What is Blake Fisher? We can live with that. But right guard, and left tackle cannot be a problem for Nick Caley to fix.
As long as Cam Robinson is in at left tackle.
That's
or
right.
Or those guys are in.
That's right.
At those spots. Yeah. So, yeah, I do think the feel of Tytus Howard is different around the organization and the fan base for the sacrifice, but he still can't be a problem. He's got to be able to hold his spot down. All right, coming up as we continue, the Rockets, Summer League is rolling, and I think the player or players that we were looking at have probably been shut down, but Reed Sheppard did compete in that, and it got me to thinking about what he did there and the development for him and the importance of that going into next season. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Really proud of myself.
I'm proud of you too.
Clint did all right too. The drive, we had a little lunch at Twin Peaks. As Clint has said in the read, it really is bikini week.
That it is.
It's true.
A lot of teeny weeny bikinis running around there.
I didn't see any weenies.
Watch, I said teeny weeny. It was a
small
figure speech there, Chief.
Oh, okay.
Right. However, you did see several.
Yeah.
Place was loaded. Place was loaded with them.
It's a sausage fest.
I mean, place was loaded with them, let's be honest.
but no, it was a good time, as always. And
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply.
Issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
I fought it off. I fought it off. Tyler, and no faults to his, as he should, ordered that nice bowl of queso dip. She asked him, "Do you want to add some meat to it?" And in my mind, I'm thinking, "You better."
Of course you do. What kind of question is that?
Of course, Tyler turned it down. I don't want any meat. No meat.
I don't get meat in the hot cheese.
Oh, they brought it over, and I did not get one. Mentally, I had 15. And it was disappointing. I didn't feel like Tyler was actually getting enough cheese on his chips.
So you're analyzing his queso.
That's not your fault. You eat it your way.
The ratio is key.
Did you put that leftover cheese in your to-go plate?
No, I just left it there.
Oh. I just took my 10 dishes.
It hurt, man. It hurt.
Not to eat it or him leaving it there?
All of it. But I fought it off. Did not get one. I thought Clint was going to get one. But he used it as a place to put his gum. I said, oh, okay. Clint backing off. Just drank water. Almost pulled the trigger multiple times on a beer. And then when Clint ordered his Coors, at that point, I almost just said, F it. Let me get a mule, please. But I held it in, got it in. We did the salmon, did the rice peel off. 700 calories on that piece. Now, we did succumb to Tyler and his and me and Clint did split a chicken tender. But I feel pretty good for what we were able to pull off. I was able to accomplish. The fellas got beers. Did I want one? Yes. Did I want a mule? Yes. They had multiple of them. They had the Crown Apple Mule that really talked to me. I started, hey, you didn't see me over there, Tyler, a lot. I was putting the show together, but I was also adding up calories and seeing if I could just make this work.
Making me proud,
I'm
bro.
I'm sitting there saying, man, it's only 180 in this thing here, man. I mean, God, if I were to get a beer, it'd be 220. I'm looking at it, comparing it to Mick Ultra. Mick Ultra's not bad. I'm thinking, wow, we're right in the same range. I said, stop it.
You did a good job. Are you proud of yourself now, though? You proud you got through it? You fought through it?
Yeah, I am proud. I am happy.
You should be.
Yep. It was tough, though. That cheese, man, that cheese dip just sitting there and just, and I could tell the cheese didn't feel like it was being used properly.
It wouldn't be, yeah, I agree. I mean, hell, you can look across there at Tyler's whole plate and feel that way. But the reality of it is, Ron, is I was going to give Tyler hell for just ordering the queso and just putting that big platter right there in the middle of the table and just tempting you.
Yeah, but
then you reminded me I had me a tall beer, so I have a hard time taking a shot at OT on that one, knowing that I sat there and had me
one of them
29 degree man size right there looking at you.
That was the part. I feel like Tyler was asking for help. I feel like he was asking for help with that queso.
It's a lot of cheese,
and I didn't. And I hate not being able to give him the help that he needs. And that was the mental part of it too, was just Tyler needed that help. You know, I mean, we don't want to let that food go to waste. It was just it's a tough one, man. So
we got through it.
We did. Big day. Yeah, we did. Clint, I was been checking that little summer league with old Reed Shepherd. Really he stopped playing, so it's now a bunch of guys out there that are just out there gambling in Vegas and just running, and hopefully they can hang on.
They ain't just gambling, boy. I guarantee you them flights from the rest of the country going to Vegas probably
we going to Las Vegas.
Yeah, they probably got they They probably got some visitors out there. Probably pretty fertile hunting grounds out there for them boys.
Well, I bet they are. Yeah, yeah. 6'5", 6'6", walking through them hotels.
Oh, are you kidding me?
That's why they call it Sin City.
Yeah. The good thing, though, is on a serious note with Reed Sheppard is you know, anytime a prospect, particularly one that you need, it'd be nice if he took the next step, at least to contribute in critical moments, if need be. It's always good in summer league if he gets 2-3 games in and then bows on out. If he finishes the
summer, that's enough.
Yeah, if he finishes the summer league season, I don't know that we saw what we needed to see. The thought that it's sparingly and it's been impressive enough to where the organization is like, all right, we're gonna limit the risk here because we got what we want.
Yeah, he went out there and he got up shots. Let me tell you, his first game he got up 25 shots. The second game he got up 19 shots. He had 28 in game one, not a great shooting percentage, 10 of 25, 6 from 15, out of 15 threes. And damn it, that's what you're going to be needing to do. You're going to be needing to do during the regular season is get up threes and be a big-time shooter from the outside for this team. But that first game, 28 points, 6 of 15 from 3, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, 3 blocks in 33 minutes. Game two, 18 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. He did have 6 turnovers, 4 steals. And again, not a great shooting percentage, 6 of 19, 1 of 7 from 3 with that. I just look at that, though. Obviously, he is going to need to develop, Clint. He is going to need to be a part, right, of this team with the skill set that he has. But it's not just on him. I think just as important, and I have felt like this is a bit of a blind spot, and I know some people feel this way when you look at how Cam Whitmore was handled and some other players were handled, Clint, is Ime Udoka also has to be willing to say, all right, even though he may not be helping us in the way I want him to help us right now, but I have to play him. I have to give him a chance to get these reps. So when we get to April and we get to May and June, hopefully, that he is ready to contribute.
Yeah.
And so I think there is a blind spot with Udoka with certain guys, especially young guys. And now when you look at this is going to be a team that's trying to win right now and win a championship, he sometimes will push those guys down if they're not giving him what he wants. And I think it's going to be on him as much as it is on Reed Sheppard for the development.
Well, I think the approach here of Ime Udoka has to change, right? I mean, up until this point, it's been about building culture. It's been about chemistry. It's been about, you know, finding guys that would grind and play hard on both ends of the floor for the entire season. Now, they just had a ton of success through that process. But I think that was the focus for Ime Udoka. Let me find a bunch of guys. Got to find out who they are individually, sure. But as a group, let's set the standard of if you're not going to play hard, if you're not going to play on the defensive end of the floor, if you're not going to hustle, if we're not going to be physical, then you're not going to play for me. So I think it was more of the discovery phase of this rebuild for the Rockets up until this year. Ron, I got to believe that the mindset this season changes, not just for Kevin Durant, but for multiple guys. And that change being, one, you got to load manage those guys because you know what you got. It's no more about, you don't have to play Fred VanVleet, if you will. I'm just using him as an example. But you don't have to play him extended minutes because you need the team to know that, hey, this is your damn leader. This is a guy that is made a priority, so y'all might want to fall in line. You don't have to do those things anymore. And so hopefully the switch of being able to load manage some of those top-end guys, the older guys, the veteran guys, and knowing what you have in most of your young guys allows you to now, the Reed Sheppards of the world, to be patient with them and allow them to develop the way you're talking about them. Hopefully this year, I would think there's a significantly different approach to the season and a significantly different approach to young guys getting playing time than there was last year and the year before, I would think.
Well, the only thing that makes me concerned is last year was still like, hey, we're building.
Right. You just happen to have some success through it.
This year is we're here.
Right.
And we're contenders. And, hey, if he ain't have time for Cam Whitmore last year, mm-hmm. if he didn't have time for some of the young guys, Reed Sheppard last year, like there is a wonder if he'll have time for him this year. Like if they aren't getting to it, because there's some coaches who can be patient with it. Right. I think J.J. Redick struggled with this. all of a sudden you look at the end of the year, he's not played any of his young guys, and they don't have anybody to roll through. And I think this happened with, I think, a complaint from a lot of people with Cam Whitmore and Reed Sheppard that you didn't give those guys enough of a shot to play. So then when you needed shooting at the end of the year, well, these guys ain't played.
Well, one could argue last year, though, Ron, is they were trying to figure out what the hell they're going to do with Jalen Green, which is obviously a priority.
That's fair.
They're trying to figure out, hey, how good is Amen Thompson? Hey, will the guy, the top line guys that we have, will they play hard when the lights are the brightest? And so I would argue that phase, you found out all you – hell, you ship Jalen up out of here. You know what Shingun's going to do. You know what Amen's going to do. Hell, you could even argue you know what Jabari and Tari are now. And – now you the one guy that you need to discover and develop is Reed, and so I would argue that there's time for that now.
And there is a clear role for him.
Yep.
A clear role for
hopefully
him.
Hopefully he can fill it.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully he can. Should be easy for him. All right. Coming up, there's one position, and it is on the side of the ball that the Texans feel like they are very, 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 very strong at, the defensive side. Should there at least be a little bit of concern? We'll discuss that coming up next.